Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Welcome to worship this morning at South Britain Congregational Church. Wherever you are on life's journey or on faith's journey, you are welcome here. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the lives of some of the disciples who were with Jesus during his ministry. We've looked at Andrew and James and John and Nathaniel. And today we turn to the disciple Thomas. I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Master." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. Jesus came through locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace, shalom, to you." Then he focused his attention on Thomas. "Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, believe." And Thomas said, "My Master, my God." And Jesus said, "So you believe because you have seen with your eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. On this Sunday following Easter, we turn to one disciple who questioned it all. That's Thomas. He wanted proof. He wanted some measurable evidence to guarantee that the disciples had really experienced the living Christ. He said, "Unless I see with my own eyes his hands and the nail holes and the wound in his side that the spear did, I will not believe." And so down through the ages, this disciple has been known as Doubting Thomas. But is that a fair assessment of the man? What do you think? Let's look at this disciple and see what kind of person he was. First of all, I think Thomas was a person who asked questions. There's a scene in the upper room before the crucifixion where Jesus is talking about what will happen to him. And he does it in sort of a veiled way that the Oriental mind just loved. And he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. You know the way." And the disciple Thomas in that upper room says, "You know, we don't know what you mean. What do you mean, we know the way? We don't know the way. What do you mean?" The Jewish people had a fondness for questions. They valued the asking of questions. In the Bible, the people ask God questions, and God, in turn, asks the people questions. There was a very famous scientist by the name of Isaac Rabi, R-A-B-I. And he came from a Jewish background, and He was once asked by a reporter, you know, what was the greatest intellectual influence on your life? And the reporter kind of expected him to say Einstein or one of the great scientists of the period. But he said, the greatest intellectual influence on my life was my mother. Because he said, when I was young and came home from Jewish religious school, my mother did not ask me, what did I learn today? She asked me, did you ask a good question today, Isaac? Again, the asking of questions in the Jewish community was seen as a path to wisdom. The asking of good questions was seen as a path to understanding and meaning. There's an old Peanuts classic cartoon where Lucy and Marcy are talking together, and Lucy says, I've kind of figured out that there are more questions in life than there are answers. And Marcy says, so? And Lucy says, so be the person who asks the questions. And that was Thomas. He was one who asked the questions. You know, the asking of good questions can also be a path not just to wisdom, but to faith. And the church is one place where we can ask our questions and grow together and learn from one another in faith. Thomas asked questions. What else can we say about this disciple of Jesus? He was a man who asked questions, but he was also a person who had his doubts. He doubted the disciples' report that they had experienced the living, resurrected Christ. And the reason was that he had been there when Jesus was crucified. He had seen that cross raised against the sullen gray sky. He had seen Jesus die a horrible death. And he was in grief by it. And he said, you know, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger in, and unless I see the wound in his side left by the spear and put my hand in, I will not believe. In the Christian faith, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Despair is the opposite of faith. No one ever said that, our growth in the faith would always be upward and onward. There are times when we stall, there are times when things stop. But in those times of doubt and struggle, often we are growing without realizing it. And we are preparing our way for an even deeper commitment to faith. You know, we all at times go through the valley of doubt, but the point is we don't stay there. The disciple Thomas came back to the upper room. And it's interesting, Jesus came to all the disciples now and addressed Thomas's real questions. He said, here are my hands, look at them. Here's my side, put your hand in. And the fascinating thing is that We're not told if Thomas actually did that. What do you think? Did he actually carry through and place his hand? My own suspicion is that he didn't, and that his experience was that he was so overcome at that moment that all he could say was, my Lord and my God. And notice that word, my Lord and my God. It just came out of him. That's all he could do. I had a little bit different experience on one occasion. I was up in Maine many years ago, rowing in from an island just off Owl's Head, Maine. And it was late afternoon, and the sun's rays, that mellow sunlight, brought out the colors. The sea became sort of a wine color, dark color, and everything around was just beautiful. And just, it arose within me, just this feeling of gratitude, of thanks. I was just overwhelmed with gratitude. And I think something like this happened with Thomas. When he encountered the living Christ for himself, he was just overwhelmed. So we have a person who was not just a doubter, that was one stage in things, but we also have a person who is, really makes one of the most profound and joyous statements of faith in the New Testament. Thomas was a doubter, that was one stage. But there's another stage too, and that is belief. Something else strikes me about the story of this man, and that is that he came to faith when he went back to the disciples, when he went back to that upper room where the others were. When Jesus had been so horribly crucified, this disciple was so deeply in grief that he went off like some wounded stag to be by himself. And I think that was his mistake. He didn't go back to be with the others. He went off alone. And so he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples. But it's in the fellowship, in with the other disciples, that the living Christ becomes real to him in his own experience, and that he comes to recognize the truth of the other disciples' experience of the Christ. It's in the fellowship that faith grows and comes to him. I was looking at Kathleen Norris on YouTube the other day, and she's written a number of religious books, like Amazing Grace. And she was saying that she knew a lot of people who didn't want anything to do with organized religion, with the church, because of all of its faults. And she said she was that way herself for a time. And then with kind of a smile, she also said, if you really want to see disorganized religion, go to church. And those of us who have been involved with the church know that disorganized religion. But nonetheless, even today, like Thomas, we can find the truth of the living Christ. We can find faith and the reality of God in the fellowship of the church. Thomas did it with the disciples. We can do it too. It's the task of the church to worship God but also to tell the story of the gospel and to pass that down from generation to generation. It's together with the other disciples in the church that we can grow in the faith and find faith for our lives. Thomas was a doubter for a while, but he became a believer. He's there later on in the gospel accounts, in the scriptural accounts. He's there when the deacons are formed, and he's part of the group in the gospel, in the book of Acts in the New Testament. He's part of the group that the author says turned the world upside down. Thomas, according to traditions outside of the scriptures, Thomas went on to do mission work in Syria and in Iran and in India. And it's interesting, in India, there is a Thomas Church, which traces its origins way, way back through the mists of history to the work of this disciple, Thomas. In Christian art, Thomas is often portrayed with a builder's tool in his hand. And according to the tradition in India, he built a church there with his own hands. Thomas the doubter, yes, for a while. But really, Thomas a believer, a missionary, a builder of churches, and an example to us. Amen. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Loving God, like Thomas, there are times when we have our questions and our doubts. But like him, may we also discover the reality of your living presence with us in the fellowship of the church. With him, may we say, my master, my God. We pray for our country in this time of pandemic. Be with the sick in the hospital and families who have suffered loss. We thank you for the work of doctors and nurses and EMTs. And we ask that researchers searching for a vaccine might find success. Be with us all at home. Grant us patience. Keep us healthy and well. We pray for the economy and the health of our businesses in this area. Bring relief to those who have been laid off at this time. Grant our President and Congress, the governors and local officials, wisdom and guidance as they set policies for our well-being in this critical time. We pray for our children and grandchildren. As plants grow toward the sun, so may they grow toward you. Keep our families strong. We think of the young people who are doing their studies over the internet because their schools are closed, and those who will miss graduation this year. And be with those who are at turning points in their lives, but the way ahead is not clear. Help us to make good decisions. We think of the men and women in our armed services far from home. And we remember that they too are under this COVID-19 threat. Take care of their families while they are away. We praise you for the magical moments of sunrise and sunset, for the steady soaking rush of the rain upon the thirsty ground, for the fresh green of the fields and pear trees in white flower, and signs of new life all around us. As the stars bend down over this community, so care for each one of us. Keep us close to your heart and safe. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.